CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. You sexy thing. What's happening? It is Wednesday morning at CliffCentral.com, and we are here to look after you, keep you happy, keep you company, and hopefully make your day that much better right from the start. Yes. I was at the office with Bulelo and Lebang just yesterday. Feels like I've seen too much of you two already for a week.
Wowza.
How do you feel about that?
I'm just warming up. I'm warming up to seeing such good-looking people more than often. Here I am in a good spirits, complimenting you guys every time I see you, and this is how you repay me? This is how you really feel?
Well, okay. You see, now you've made me feel bad, but unfortunately, there are two things about that statement that I have a problem with. Number one, you are lying about being around good-looking people this morning, and both Bulelo and I know it. We can tell when we're being schmoozed. And second of all, there's just really nobody on earth that you wake up at 5 in the morning and go, it's great to be up this early to be with you. And of course, it gets better around 6 and gets even better around 7, but 5? Mm-mm.
If you've been like away from people for as long as I have, this is nice. This is refreshing. It's giving me a whole new look on life. I think I can actually wake up this early every day. I considered it. I was like, maybe I can do this every day. And I was like, okay, whoa, hold that thought. I'll get back to that. But I'm genuinely happy to see you guys, man. How are you guys doing?
Okay, well, I like that. Thank you, Lebang. Now we're good. You have been super busy and your new show took off last week. How's all that going?
It's going good. I'm just getting into the groove of things, of like figuring everything out. You know, I'm finally able to just like say what I've always wanted to say without any like restrictions and any like constraints. So that's like the real nice part. And I'm just excited to like really connect with, you know, people and help people and heal and just chat and unpack. And I'm really, really excited, man. I think it's going to do wonders. Thursdays, 11 to 12.
Yes, I actually got an email from someone yesterday, Donna, who listens to us. She said, just remind me when Lebang's show is because I feel like I might have missed it already. But no, don't worry. It's tomorrow at 11. So make sure you don't miss that. All right. So first thing, I've got to bring this up because it's one of those things that people do. And I don't think that the people who are doing this right now are doing it for bullshit reasons. But I've got two friends and they're doing a 48-hour fast this weekend. So they're not eating anything for 2 whole days, 2 whole nights. They're not going to put anything into their bodies at all. And then I think they can drink water. That's it. They can only have water. And they're pretty fit people. I mean, they're in good shape. They eat well normally. I think they're both vegetarians or whatever. So it's not some kind of trend or thing that they're on. But there are a lot of people who do this stuff because it's bullshit, right? There are a lot of people who do it because they want to like get a pat in the back and be told how cool they are. And ooh, look at the discipline you have for a whole 48 hours. Ooh, you know. But these two are doing it. And I think it's quite cool if you do it with the right intention, don't you?
Before you chop them down, those on the app, people will notice there's something on the app. We are working on that. Our technicians are currently working on that, and we will ensure that that's back up. So yeah, please carry on. The vegans are saving the world.
Yeah, so on our app, there's a problem.
Yes, but we're working on it. We are fervently working.
Let me do the proper announcement. Here we go.
We understand that currently the app is not working in optimal and perfect way. We will be attending to this as clearly and as quickly as we can, and we ask you for your patience and for your understanding during this very difficult time for our engineers and technicians. We're on it, and we promise we will be back shortly.
You gotta do it properly, otherwise people don't know.
You're making a fish. That was actually pretty good. Like, I don't know how you did that quickly, but that was impressive.
I'm gonna do it.
All right. Maybe, if you don't mind trying to restart the Comrex there, Gareth, from your side, and we'll take it from there.
Restart the whole thing?
Well, the Comrex. I mean, we don't have to restart the show, just the Comrex.
Okay, well, let me just redo this then. Because everything's fine on my side. I'm going to we are letting you in behind the fourth wall, everybody.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
and now letting you see how our show takes place. You know, I was thinking this morning, I took one day off, when I did that trip to the Game Reserve in, what was it, April? But otherwise, I think we haven't missed a single show this year. And the same goes for last year with lockdown starting and everything. I'm kind of proud of that. I like that we haven't let our audience down, you know? Got some great feedback, though, from somebody yesterday. And he had lots of constructive criticism about where we're going wrong. And I really appreciate that stuff. You know, if I can see it comes from a good place. Like I've grown up sufficiently that it's not, it used to just irritate me that people were, you know, I saw it as a correction, and I saw it as people were unhappy and they didn't like the show. But this guy just put it so beautifully that it was impossible for me to get cross. And he's like, well, some of your guest hosts have been quite shit. So I was like, and then he says, you know, that there are some things about the show that he really loves, but there's some things that are a bit too much. And it's constantly evolving is the whole point. We're always adding things and taking things away. And there's never going to be a point where everyone is perfectly happy with the show, including me. There's going to be a stage where I'm more happy than I'm unhappy. And then there'll be stages where I'm like, got to get off this thing because I think I'm tired and bored. But mostly, we will be figuring out these things along the way. It's a feedback process as well. And we do like feedback. So let us know. And by the way, we do know about the app. We're busy sorting that out now if you've just joined in on the stream. All right. So, Lebang Khosana is here as she is,
yes.
As a regular feature now on the show, and, Bulelo and I. And we had a look after you this morning. We've got lots of cool stuff coming up today, by the way. We're going to be talking to Sean Sanders from Revix. We'll also speak to an ex-army soldier who was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this guy is really, really interesting. You know, we've been talking a lot about Afghanistan and Iraq. So I have to tell you about all the cool stories this guy has, and he'll tell you himself. That's the best part of it. We'll also be speaking to Alex from Contro. Do you remember a while ago we said that there's this new business and they supply birth control, and they supply medicine to help guys who can't get a hard on. And we thought, you know what? This is the perfect place for us to talk about these things without being childish and stupid about them. Well, I can't guarantee that, actually. We may be childish.
About that, no, we cannot confirm nor deny, but look, hey, we'll still have the conversation.
and we will talk to Alex, but we'll also speak to Dr. Shamista, who's the expert in this field. And hopefully Dr. Shamista will be able to answer our questions about birth control and what exactly the options are. There are so many women in this country who want to know what to do, but maybe they don't know what to do, and maybe they've been told bad information. So get a doctor on, and she's the expert in this field, and she will be able to help us figure it out. So,
and there's so many men as well who want to know what's going on, because it's a two-way thing, lest we forget, mm-hmm. Gareth. So I think it's going to be a great conversation.
I mean, most of the women in this country are not getting pregnant because they are irresponsible, but because so often in societies like ours, which are hugely patriarchal, mm-hmm. the man is who decides today we're going to have sex, or we're not going to, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. And the woman's like, can I just, too late. It's done.
Yeah.
And you know, these horrible situations where you've got like schoolgirls who are, you know, basically being forced into sex by teachers and things. I mean, there's atrocious shit happening.
So it's horrible. It's horrible.
We'll let's not leave Jesus out, because we know, especially if you're Catholic, what they think of prophylactics. So that is a huge part. We mustn't, like, we always go to just the patriarchal thing. Jesus must be important here, that he's also in the mix for let's make more babies.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Listen, it's a very interesting discussion. It's not one that most people are comfortable having, but here we don't mind. All right. So Lebang, the headdress, give me the down low on that. Looks very good.
The headdress. Oh, why, thank you. This is something called umkhele. It's actually a traditional Zulu headgear, of which I am nowhere near being Zulu. My Zulu, in fact, it sucks. It's at like 0.00. I actually got an A for Zulu, but that's like high school stuff. So I think this morning why I'm wearing it is just kind of like, just to just show my people that, look, one band, one sound. You know, I don't want this tribalism thing to go on like it has been. In the past couple of days, there's this new kettle brand that's come out, and it's called Zuluish. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah, I'm going to buy it. It's only $350. Whoop, whoop. Anything for my people. And then I'm seeing my fellow brothers and sisters on some, I'll never buy that. I'm Tswana. I'll never buy that. I'm Betty. I'll never buy that. And I'm like, why are we doing this? So I guess like why I'm feeling encouraged to wear my Umkhele attire this morning is just to like one band, one sound it out. Like I hate to see my brothers and sisters tearing each other down just because I may not speak your language so fluently. It doesn't mean, you know, we are not all proudly South African. It doesn't mean that we're not all proudly brown, you know? So
what is this thing that happens quietly in the background in South Africa? And it raised its head during those, you know, those riots and protests that we had in KZN about a month ago.
Yeah, you know,
there's a thing that happens. And, you know, I try not to get, I don't bring it up on purpose because I know what happens is people go, oh, it's a bit of a distraction from, you know, the real politics of the country and the fact that we've got politicians all over who are manipulating our differences to make us angry with each other. But I can't help noticing, and I don't think anyone is completely oblivious to the fact that there's a strong flow of tribalism that happens, and it comes out, it rears its ugly head at the least expected moments. And it strikes me as very strange because, you know, during apartheid, mostly with some exceptions, mostly all the black people of South Africa rallied together against a common enemy, which was the old regime. And they stood together and they put their tribal differences aside. But it seems like when there's nothing else to fight about, we'll find something. And sometimes that thing is tribalism.
You know, I hate to agree with you guys, but that's just ultimately the truth. You know, we sort of come from a time where we haven't really been, you know, built to believe in ourselves as a people. And so why would I all of a sudden believe in somebody, you know, next to me? If I can't even believe in myself, you know, you latch on to, you know, whatever you can. So that's why you see the Zulu nation in inverted commas going against, you know, the Tswanas and the Tswanas going against the Bedis, the Tswanas. Let me not even start. It's so sad. And it starts in the household. I mean, I grew up in a household where I was told, no, Xhosa girls are hectic. Stay away from Xhosa girls.
Well, that's true. No, but that is true.
That's your experience. But every time you say that and every time you believe that, what are you ultimately letting out into the universe that is against this unity that we ultimately should be getting to? Sure, it's just a stereotype. It's just a statement. But think about the long-term, you know, within the household. Like, no, don't talk to babies. Betty's are this, that. Like, it's all fun and games on the timeline, and I see it, and, you know, but what are we actually creating? What's the culture we're building?
This kettle, which is called Zuluish. Okay, it's a local. Okay, it was made as a South African product. It's affordable. It's good quality stuff.
Yeah.
And they're selling it with a little bit of a local flair to it. So, I mean, this is the kind of thing that most of us want to support. And you're telling me that what happened on social media is people started saying, oh, is this kettle only for Zulus? And like they got all petty and childish about it. Is that what you're saying?
As expected, Gareth, you know how they can be, you know, the ministers of social media. And a lot of them went as far as unpacking the business model of Zuluish. Like, oh, it's not really manufactured in South Africa. It's from China. So they will definitely not support it. And it's crazy because how many products are actually from China that we support? So we're currently we're just going through a phase, man, where it's like, I'm going to bash you so much because I don't want to see you win. And I just want us to get over that and just start supporting each other. And therefore, Zuluish, I will be buying your kettle, bro. Like, let me at least start here and hopefully I can inspire and encourage my fellow brown brothers and sisters, man.
Zuluish. So I read a really interesting book a couple of years ago about this tribalism thing. And, you know, in South Africa, we think this is so unique to us. Like, if you go back to let's use an empire we'll all understand is the British Empire. So for those who understand that, there is a north-south divide today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not a South African thing. It's not exclusive here. You know, I did a 6-month trip to South America when I was younger, and it was so crazy to me how being in Bolivia and being in Chile, they cannot stand the sight of one another. And it's palpable. It's like, what? It's palpable. You know, I was wearing a Bolivian football shirt in, my favorite place in the world probably is Santiago, Chile. And, when I was there, it's like the eyes, and I was asking my mate, what's going on? But I can feel that what this elicits in people. So it's not that unique here. And it's a good reminder that, like, people always think, oh, we're so sophisticated because we have MP3 players.
I don't think we'll ever be over this stuff, but no. It's such a dumb thing to fight about. By the way, I just looked at this kettle now. It's actually sexy as hell. I'm going to put a picture of it up here. It's a very nice looking piece of
Look
equipment.
Look at that. Come on. They even put in some nice carrot cake things in the back. I mean, I'm finna buy that.
So I'm giving them a plug this morning. Good for them. And you know, the worst thing you can do with these, social media justice warriors is to apologize to them or to kowtow to their bullshit. You must just carry on. Never say sorry. Be you. Be proud of who you are. I'm almost like in the mood to just get the people who are behind this product on the show and give them free advertising just to give a middle finger to the people on Twitter. That's how I feel about this stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. there's, as I said, quite a lot to do today and quite a lot to get into. And we've got a busy show for you this Wednesday. So I hope you're up and you're ready and you're at 'em. It's, so far very pleasant this week. I keep talking about this cold front, but I'm holding thumbs and crossing my fingers that it's not going to happen because it's my birthday tomorrow. And I'd rather not go into a new year with, the coldest day of winter hitting right on my birthday. So let's see what happens. Not that it makes any difference, of course.
It doesn't. I didn't want to say it, but it does. It's just going to be another day. You're still going to be a preeminent figure in broadcasting in African history for the last 25 years.
Yeah, that's all.
You're still going to be brilliant. Don't worry about it. You're still rocking, Gary. You're still rocking.
We're speaking of great products. We've got to just talk about Kanye West for a little bit. We had Kim Jade on Monday, and she was talking about Yeezys, and she was talking about her shoe collection in Collectomania. And, you know, I've got such an obsession with sneakers too. I don't like Yeezys, but I like, you know, sneakers in general. I'm very particular about the kind of look that I like for me, but I get it. I totally understand it. And this guy, whether you like Kanye West or not, and many people have lots of reasons not to like him. I mean, he's a crazy human being. He really does live on the border of insanity and genius. And whether you're into all of his stuff or only some of his stuff, you got to admit, like, as a creative man and a person who's just making new things that didn't exist before he came to planet Earth, that's something admirable.
Definitely.
And I hear now his Donda vest has just sold for 300,000 rand.
Oh, no. People will buy anything is the point. Like, Donda isn't even out. Let's just start there. Donda is his new album, which was supposed to come out, 2-3 weeks ago? It's still not out. Mm-hmm. He hosted a listening session in, like, an arena, in the Mercedes-Benz Arena in the States, and he filled it up. He hadn't released a single song, but he had sold out every single seat. After that, he decided he's going to live in the stadium. And while living in the stadium, he's going to build like a recording studio. It's literally the size of a jail cell. You can check this out. He just put a microphone in there, you know, keyboard, and he was just making music from there on this tiny little mattress. Wow. And now, after selling his Donda vest for 300,000 rand, he's decided to rebuild his childhood home in the center of this arena. So what Kanye West is doing in terms of, like, borderline crazy and genius, you're absolutely spot on. Like, people love to see everything that he does because he's not living in the same world as us. He's literally somewhere else all the time.
What a clever guy. Obviously nutcase, but clever guy. And so apparently Lloyd Banks, there was a towel at a concert in 2004 that you caught.
Yes.
It was G-Unit. So you caught this towel. You were in the crowd, and I've often wondered what happens with these things that these artists throw into the crowd. Because I've never been in the crowd when they've thrown anything, and I've never caught anything in the crowds. I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'm like a dog who would be chasing the
car, you know. Yo, it's such a rush.
You caught this towel back in 2004, and what did you do with the damn thing?
I literally did not wash it for months. I was so chuffed with myself. And yes, it was sweaty, but that was Lloyd Banks' sweat. And I was this 14-year-old girl. That was my second concert ever. I was at the Dome. I was seeing G-Unit. 50 Cent was right in front of me. So when Lloyd Banks went, and I went, I was like, that was just like so much fun. And then my mom washed it. And then I was like, well, now it's just a towel.
Did you throw it away eventually, or do you not know?
I had no use for it. It just kind of like, you know, shriveled, dissolved into the rest of the towels in the household. But for that moment where I knew that that was the one, like it was a crisp white, you can see it was on their rider, like 50 fresh white towels. Because we didn't have towels like that in the house. It was lovely. And I went around telling everybody that, yeah, I caught the towel. If we had social media back then, oh my word, I would have trended, bro. Like I was like knee deep in that. But it was fun. And you know, when you're young, you like these sorts of things. I can't picture myself doing that now. I have no interest in being at the front of a concert, jumping around, catching things. But back then it was cool.
You got old Shane. Speaking of concerts, I saw Charlie Watts from the Rolling Stones died of COVID yesterday in hospital in the UK. Now, I saw that he was sick because I follow the Rolling Stones on social media. And I'm not even a big Rolling Stones fan, but I think that they're such a machine. You know, they've been going since my parents were kids. And Mick Jagger is this unbelievable icon, this force of nature. And so is Keith Richards. I mean, God, let's not even talk about Mick. Like Keith Richards, when everyone else is dead, will still be crawling around on Earth. And Charlie Watts was their drummer. Very, very talented guy. Apparently the nicest human being. I mean, everybody who'd ever dealt with the Stones or interviewed them said that Charlie was like the heart and soul of that band. And if you've been with someone for as long as they'd all been together, I wonder if it hurts as much as like losing your husband or wife, because those guys were touring for months at a time all over the world. They saw more of each other than they probably did of their husbands and wives, and in this case, just wives, and kids. And it's got to really burn, because we all talk about friendship. And I think often about the most important relationships in my life and the people I see the most. Or if you just go through your phone, like the people you call the most. And I'm sure that Mick and Keith and Charlie, you know, those three must have spoken to each other every day. Or at least every week, which is more than you can say for a lot of people. It's got to burn so, so sore when you don't have that person in your life anymore. And also the band is going to carry on right now. They've got to supposedly find another drummer, but all of that's still far in the future. It's incredible. He died at 80 years old. 80, he was still drumming in a rock band. God, that's a good way to go. I would be okay with going at 80 if I'd been in the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, no, that's not
too bad. Like, I feel old sometimes, but like Charlie Watts was double my age almost.
And he's living harder. He lived harder than the three of us combined. That's crazy. And they come from an era when they were the term friendship wasn't like I like your picture. All right, you know, they were like friends, like I'm with you all the damn time. So it must definitely like burn a lot differently. But, you know, when you live a life that long and that strong, you know, you're leaving behind some really, really strong, you know, stuff, some great memories. So, yeah, may soul rest in peace, man.
And it's so unique what their relationship is, you know, is most of us tragically. And I'd say, Gareth, you've probably been closer to this, is that they have changed millions, tens of millions of people's lives together. I don't care who you are. Very few of us will ever get to that moment. You know, relationship songs, breakup songs, whatever their songs would represent from the Stones for you. They did that together, and they can't ignore what they've done. Is no matter whether they loved each other or not, my God, just for the respect. You know, when you lose somebody you respect, you don't have to love them. But my God, heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Hey, it's got to
Michael
be.
Michael makes the point, bands who stay together as long as them are closer than blood. I think that's true.
Yeah.
You know, how many marriages do you know that last in excess of 40 years? 40 years is a huge amount of time. I mean, this band had been together since the 1960s.
Sure. So
that's 60 years of them pretty much from their teens, maybe more than 60 years. I'm not sure exactly what the dates are, but that's longer than most of the marriages I've ever encountered. It's unbelievable, right?
Jeez. Shout out. Shout out the Stones. Yeah. And oh no. Oh no. Gareth, is that a sneeze?
Corona. Yeah.
Oh no.
So Greg.
Not on your birthday. Imagine that.
It would be terrible. Greg, who works with us at Cliff Central, Greg's kind of in charge of everything, I suppose, is the way to explain it. We're so bad at titles. Like, we're still trying to figure out what Lebang's title is at Cliff Central. You know, for you and me, it's easy, Mbulela. We've got shows. And for you as well, Lebang, but that's not the only thing that you're doing now. Have we decided what your job title is? Greg's is kind of like, he's sort of the MD, general manager, station manager. What's your title?
We're like floating. Yeah, Greg is sick, but we love him still. The title thing is tricky. Like, we're floating. You know, one day we're like, that's the one, that's it. But as long as, like, creative something is in there, I think that's the agreement that Rena and I came together to, is it's like creative guru, because I just, like, love everything so much that's happening at Cliff Central, and I just want to be a part of everything. So, yeah, that's where we're at. Like, oh, what are you guys doing? And there's my two cents putting in my little spice of creativity. So that's the vibe.
Are we warm to the idea of creative guru? Because I like
we
that.
Are.
That's different.
We are, yeah.
You know, some of these companies overthink it, and then they have these long titles and you don't actually know what the people do. The whole reason to have a job title, and really, I mean, who even has business cards anymore? But the reason to have a job title is so that people know that they're talking to the right person. That's really all. Like, I suppose I'm, for, you know, all intents and purposes, I'm the CEO, but I don't know what that means. And some people spend their whole lives trying to be a CEO. And now I have been for 7 years. I don't call myself that. And frankly, it doesn't mean a damn thing to me, but I know it means a lot to some other people. You know, if they're dealing with a CEO, then they're dealing with an important person. Ooh. Big fat deal. Sure.
You know, the worst of them is these people called doctors, right? And there was a stage where my mom wanted me to call her. I said, get the hell out of here. No, like, go start saying, yeah, get the hell out of here. I don't know, fix my leg.
This is interesting stuff. Well, she is actually a doctor. Now, I don't have any problem calling a medical doctor a doctor. But if you're a doctor of philosophy or literature, or please, I mean, nobody should be calling you doctor. A PhD is not the same as a medical doctor. An MD, MBCHD, whatever you want to call it. Those people, you know, when they go, is there a doctor on the plane? Because someone is having a heart attack. You got some fucking philosophy doctor who gets up at the back of the plane, like, I'm here. Hi, I can help. No, you can't. You're a philosophy doctor. Now,
let people enjoy things, man.
No, but it's different. You can't. We've got to be very careful that word doctor, because it's used in emergencies. So it's different to, you know, if you're a master of philosophy or whatever, and someone says, what's your degree? Oh, no, I've got a master's in philosophy. That's great. And I don't mock philosophers or anyone else in the humanities. But it's all good and well to be a doctor of engineering, but that doesn't mean you can repair a person with a heart attack. And I think we should only address doctors, medical doctors, by the term doctor, whatever it is. Otherwise, you just keep that shit to yourself, because it's not helpful in the real world, not practical in the real world. Academic qualifications are not interesting. They're really not.
That's true. But I also, doctors do get way too much credit in the scientific field. Is biology is not that hard. Like, idiots like me could do biology. It's not that hard. Doctors are in the middle of intelligence.
Nonsense. Wow. You get people who are right at the top of that. Like, you know, brain surgeons and ophthalmic surgeons and anesthetists and people like that who are really, really smart people. I mean, those people are, one small mistake and everything shuts down, you know? That's the end of you.
Yeah, but let's not bash.
We're not talking about your GP here. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a GP. They're great. They're useful. They're the most important doctors in most of our lives. But some of these specialist doctors in Bulela are not average intelligence. That's bullshit. They have to know lots of stuff, and they're a very superior intelligence. I'll give credit for it.
I'll tell you what, go and speak to particle physicists and what they think of doctors. I used to love popping over there and see what they think of the medical guys.
But I mean, Mbulelo, come on. I mean, what are you talking about here? A particle physicist is not really practically helpful in the real world. It's all good and well that they know about quarks and neutrinos and, you know, positrons and muons and leptons and all of these things. That's great. Don't get me wrong. I find that stuff interesting. But, you know, it's almost like average people use particle physicists and string theoreticians to make themselves sound clever. These are not people who have a practical application in our day-to-day lives. Of course, they build incredible machines and cyclotrons, and they split the atom, and then they split the parts of the atom, and that's fascinating. But you could say the same about, you know, someone who builds bridges, except that the person who builds bridges is actually practically doing things for the rest of us. Sorry, it's just not incomparable.
I just don't think doctors are that smart, but sure, fair enough.
Okay. I will never say that doctors aren't smart. Like, sure, there's levels. Mm. You know, there's like VIP, then there's VVIP. But like, even entry-level doctors have their role to play. And I'll never bash that as a career path. There's a lot of people that want to do that. So let's, you know.
Also, if you bash them, Lebang, then one day they're going to be the one that you go to. And they're going to be, I remember this bitch. Mbulelo's going to be on one of his 200,000 kilometer runs, and he's going to collapse because his fucking heart bursts or something. And then the doctor's going to drive past and go, oh, hang on, I know that guy. That's Mbulelo Tinta. He could just carry on.
Yeah, it'll be okay. And then they'll keep it moving. You don't want that energy, bro. You don't want that energy. You know, I've actually had the same GP my entire life. I actually just realized.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I'm actually very lucky. I need to say hello to him. It's been a while, but he's like the only GP that I've ever gone to in my 31 years is the same person.
That's amazing.
If anything happens to him, I would be crushed.
Those relationships really matter. You only realize once they're gone. You know, we think about, my doctor, he's on all of your, I mean, I don't think there's anyone whose doctor isn't on their phone, right? Like he's there under doctor on my phone.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of GPs, but then I'm very, very old compared to you. And I'm sad because I have to find a new dentist. My dentist died a couple of weeks ago, and I've got to now go and start the hunt for a new dentist. And what I liked about this one is she was so gentle. She was great with kids. And I remember when I was like a teenager, she was, or not, maybe a little bit older than that, but she's always been really sweet about it. And I've hated the dentist from an early age because it's just a scary experience for many people. It's not just me. And I never enjoy the experience except afterwards when you come out of there and your teeth are like fantastically clean and you know you're good for a couple of months. That's always a nice feeling. But I she was such a sweet person, and she would, you know, like if you winced in pain because she, you know, hit some nerve or something, she would go, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Such a sweet woman. I'm very sad that I have to find a new dentist now. God knows where I'm going to start.
I was about to say, like, do you get recommendations? Are you going to check online? Are you going to just check the closest one to where you live? There's just so many variables now.
Interesting. It's so interesting to me. Like, I've never had the concept of a family doctor. Like, for me, I'm just like, oh, I live where I live. I want a doctor.
I know you are unique.
When you were still a rural Limpopo boy, you used to have your own family sangoma.
There you go.
Maybe it's a South African thing. I don't think so, though. I think people
A lot of people have family doctors. And I'm always like, I never say anything. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? But I didn't know that it meant so much to people. And it's because I've never had an ailing or a health crisis. You know what I mean? I've never had like a proper crisis.
No, don't get me wrong here. It's not like I have socialized with my doctor ever. We've never had a drink together or like, you've invited my doctor for dinner or anything, but you do. They know a lot about you. They're the people you go to when you're in any kind of physical distress. And I think it's good to have a relationship, even if it's just a professional, like friendly relationship. But I like that. I wouldn't want to go to a strange doctor every time. And for many people, that is the case. I mean, you know, if you go to state hospitals, for example, whoever's on schedule that day is who you see. So it's a privilege to be able to have a family doctor. But I think that relationship matters. Maybe it's just
definitely. I mean, you have to start from scratch all the time and like figure out the vibes and the energies. When you go to your family doctor, they literally know everything. They know how you are. They'll know that Mulele doesn't want to talk a lot, so I'm not going to talk a lot. I'm just going to chill here, be professional, do my job. I'll see him next time I see him. You know, the icebreaker, all of that fluff is done. But I completely understand. Imagine having to go to a different doctor every single time. What if it's, you know, that already just sounds like, and someone like me, like I don't need to know you to already just start talking. How are you? How you doing? Blah, blah. So, imagine all the time. Now, it just sounds a bit chaotic for me. So it's been, and I completely agree with you guys. It's definitely a privilege to have a family doctor who knows everything about you and everything about your family. And they, like, you know, they understand everything that's happened. So when you get there one day and it's like, oh, geez, this is happening. They sort of get why it could happen. It makes life a lot simpler. And I really wish that, you know, healthcare in this country was just more affordable so that we can, you know, more of us can just have family doctors.
If our government gets their way, it'll be Cuban doctors that don't even speak English to us. So then we're going to be in trouble. But
sure.
All right, Chris says, and I didn't see this and I feel like an idiot that I might have missed something really cool. There was apparently a meteor shower over Pretoria yesterday.
Yeah. Damn. It was hectic. Well, I didn't see it with my naked eye, but I saw videos and I was like, is this something out of a movie? We're in Pretoria. I need to call my Aboriginal people to confirm, you know, like somebody but it happened.
You know, because it's my birthday tomorrow, I'll open up and admit this to you. It's my relatives from the other planets that are coming to join me for my party. I needed to come and land here. So we disguised it as a meteor shower. It's a
classic.
Thank you for that clarity.
Now you know. Alien birthday.
Please, will someone just tell all the people in the U.S. Secret Service that to stop worrying? They already know about this. You know, we've had our discussions with them. We've had our meetings with my alien family, and you know, it's not a big deal. Just move on.
You know, this is funny, Gareth. I've got friends that are truly, truly under the impression that white people are aliens. I'm happy to talk about this another day.
No, sure. We'll get into it. And I'll confirm all of those suspicions. Make sure that they're listening on that day. And I'll go along with it. We'll get them completely strung along. Dr. Robin says, I don't pretend to be more than what I am, but give us doctors a little bit of credit. I've studied hard. I work hard. I care. I know there are dodgy doctors, but not all of us are psychos. Well, that's true for any profession, Robin. You don't need to stand up for yourself. And Scrumbolelo. He's a monster.
Hold on. I didn't say they were insulting.
There's no meaningful human relationships, so don't worry about him.
Yeah, that's true. Don't worry, Doctor. I mean, they are incredibly selfless in their act. That's separate to being intelligent.
Well, some. There are shit doctors. Dogozo says, I'm due to go and have my wisdom teeth taken out. Next week, Monday. Shit, that's horrible. I'm sorry, Dogozo. I've postponed it for 2 weeks already. I'm so scared. I had mine out, probably my early 20s. It's a horrible post-operation experience. You don't feel anything while you're in, but afterwards it's difficult for about a day and a half, and then it gets better very quickly. But good luck. You don't want to keep those wisdom teeth in. Trust me.
Yeah.
Headaches. You end up with other dental problems. You have all kinds of issues that can come from that. Rather get them out and just go. Doggos are just go and do it. It's horrible, but you have to do it. Michael says, Mbulelo, you first have to have a family before you have a family doctor. Wait for it. It's coming.
Yikes.
If God is real, let me just stay single and fit until I'm 80. Let me live the dream life.
And we'll see about that.
Probably not. I'll probably get married and be miserable by 45.
Basitsana says, breaking news, the J.G. Zuma Foundation has called for donations to help pay his legal fees. Actually,
amen,
I got a WhatsApp. You have no idea what kind of WhatsApp groups I'm on, right? I got a WhatsApp on one of my groups from people raising money for the J.G. Zuma Foundation. So I think I'll pass on this one if you don't mind. All right, a couple of headlines. Let's take a look at what's going on in the world, because people are going to know what's happening. And the first thing is the Charlie Watts story from the Rolling Stones. He died at 80 years old. We spoke about that earlier. Huge loss to rock and roll and a huge loss to the Rolling Stones and to fans, the millions and millions of fans there are all over the world who just love that band. and especially, as Lebang and Bulalo and I were saying just now, especially condolences to the other Stones, because this is like as close as you can get to another human being who's not blood.
Yeah.
It must be very tough. Don't panic and get back to work, said the Taliban. This is... you got to love these guys, right? The
Taliban... What a movie! We are living in a movie!
But isn't this great? Isn't this great practical advice? I wish more governments. I know that these guys have only been back in government for about a week, but this is the most sensible thing that any government in the world could say right now. I mean, you look at what insanity is happening in parts of North America, Australia, New Zealand. There are countries that are still locked down, tougher than you can imagine, when no one can leave, like no one can arrive, no one can do normal things. Everybody's housebound. They're in a bubble. Taliban says, and you know what? They're right. They say, get back to work and help run the country once all these crazy foreigners have left. That's what they've said. They actually used the term crazy foreigners. Like thousands of others working for the outgoing Western-backed administration swept aside by the Islamist militants' lightning conquest of Afghanistan, this guy, whose name is Ashraf Haidari, he's an economist at the Afghan Finance Ministry, he says he's been waiting anxiously for some kind of sign that things are going to return to normal. Anyway, he got a call from a Taliban commander who said, you better return to your ministry where you work. We've got to allocate funds to the country's 34 provinces. He said, don't panic or try to go into hiding. The officials need your expertise to run our country after the crazy foreigners leave. That's what Haidari, who's 47, told Reuters. To fit in with the norms of the previous Taliban rule, where they brutally enforced a strict interpretation of Sharia law, Haidari grew a beard. After the phone call on Sunday, he swapped his suit for traditional Afghan robes to meet his new bosses. Reuters spoke to three other mid-level officials at Afghanistan's finance ministry and central bank, who said that they'd been told by the Taliban to return to work because the country faces economic upheaval and a shortage of cash. So, you can say what you want about the Taliban, right? And trust me, I'm no fan. But this is good advice. Get back to work. Get the country going. Stop with the stupid masks and the hand sanitizer and the lockdowns and the bullshit. Let's get things moving. You know, this is a chance for real countries to actually watch as Afghanistan starts to accelerate. Like, you know, sometimes you do well because you're faster and more nimble and smarter and more efficient and all of those things. Sometimes you do well just because everyone else is stuck.
And sometimes you do well because you don't ask everyone's opinion. You know, there are places in the world that do well. Singapore does well because, yeah, unlike here in South Africa, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a say, is no. You come to Singapore. This is what you are. You can leave. Sometimes you do well that because of that. South Korea, sometimes you do well because of that.
Hey, listen, if the Taliban end up getting things working for the average Afghan, I'm in favor. Obviously, I think they're a brutal, backward, primitive, stone age bunch of savages. But let's see, because even those kinds of people can sometimes build civilizations. God alone knows that's where all of our civilizations started, right? So let's see how quickly they can accelerate. Apparently, according to Jimmy Manye, poor Jacob Zuma, and we spoke about this by Sana's message earlier, poor Jacob Zuma, he doesn't have millions stashed somewhere. According to Zwanele Manye. What is that? According to Zwanele. Oh, okay. I thought it was my phone. Zwanele Manye says, you've got to be sympathetic. He's 79 years old, so he's only a year younger than Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones. Okay. Hasn't done as many drugs, but he's lived almost as long. Apparently, this guy has no money. Desperately needs some cash, Zwanele says, there's no money hidden away. You know that President Zuma, contrary to popular belief, he says, he doesn't have millions and billions stashed somewhere. He's just a pensioner that's living on a government salary. And the kinds of legal bills that he's dealing with are just too much, says
Zwanele.
Too much. So
sell your house. There we go.
Thank you. I was about to say.
270 million rand house with the refurbishments that, because we know now that the house cost, what, 270 million just to do upgrades. So if you sell the house, it's probably worth, what, 400 million? If it was just for upgrades. Remember, you told us.
You're not going to be able to sell that. You know where it is? It's in the middle of like a rural area where it's the only big house in the area. None of those people around there can buy it. Who's going to move out to Nkantla? You people are so unsympathetic. I think you need to donate some money to Gedlihle Giza. That's what I think. Come on. You know who?
It's things that are not going to happen. No.
Let's get some good advice from Sean Saunders. He'll know what to do with this. I mean, Sean, do you have any spare cash lying around after the last big bull run on Bitcoin, which is still going on? You know, I mean, it's $48,000. You have some spare cash lying around at Revix to send to the former president to help pay his legal bills. Come on, Sean, be charitable. Why not? Huh? Come
on. Guys. Morning. I jumped into a rather interesting conversation. Hell no. I'd rather put the money into something valuable. There's no chance I'd do that.
But he's a good investment, Sean. He's 79 years old. He could run again for president. Why wouldn't you put money into the Jacob Zuma Foundation? I mean, he needs all the help he can get.
It's compelling. I mean, 79 years old, you know, good funders, though, like deep pockets. I don't know. Why does he need my money, I suppose?
Well, he's got those huge legal bills. That's the big problem. Sean Saunders is the co-founder and the boss at Revix, and we've spoken to Sean pretty much every week of this year in the ups and downs of crypto. There's so much exciting shit going on here. So I just want to get straight to the point. Decentralized finance. So a lot of people have been asking questions, Sean. And Revix, you guys offer all kinds of diversified portfolios of the world's top cryptocurrencies. So you're already helping us to diversify. But decentralized finance is the way of the future. We've spoken about this so many times already. There's still questions, though. Somebody sent me a question to say, Sean, can you just explain to those of us who are brand new to this, what is decentralized finance?
Yeah. So decentralized finance is, I mean, you heard this term, they'll say it's the future of finance. But really what it's referring to is finance applications that are built on top of blockchains. So kind of a broader picture here. If you look at the way that the current system works, you've got a broker, you've got a bank, you've got an insurance company, you've got all these different players which act as standalone entities, and you engage with that company and, you know, they manage your funds and everything and everything. So that's the way that the world's always worked. Now, decentralized finance is essentially taking that entire institution, that insurance firm, that bank, that brokerage firm, and making it into an application. And these applications are called, in blockchain terms, decentralized applications, because they sit on top of blockchains. And what this means is, instead of you going to the bank to say, hey, I would like a loan, you know, I want to buy a house, I want to buy a car, whatever the story may be, you could potentially go to an application that connects you with a variety of different lenders around the world, and you would be able to then borrow money from them. And that's this.
Why would we do this? Just explain to me why this is an advantage and why this is the future.
So, yeah, I think if you drive into Sandton, I mean, you can drive into any major city, you see those really big, shiny buildings, and they generally have banking logos on them. Now, the reason that those buildings exist is because they've got a lot of money, and they've got that money from you, right? Financial intermediaries love to pull money out of the system, right? So, I don't know, go make an international SWIFT payment, right? Go pay some person that's sitting in another country. You pay 500 Rand for a 2,000 Rand payment. Like, what on earth are you paying for? The paperwork as well, which is absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, people don't like banks. Like, this is the truth. So now imagine a banking system, because decentralized finance, and the decentralized part really just means that it's running peer-to-peer on a blockchain network. The exciting part about this is that all of a sudden finance, and I'm a finance geek, so this is the thing that gets me the most excited, is that this is automated finance. So it's not the finance we know today where it's, oh, I want to take out a mortgage, I go to a bank, I apply to a bunch of different providers. It's no, you can actually do this all in real time online. And based on game theory, really, and behavioral incentives for different parties, you're able to essentially do exactly what you're doing in the current financial world, but just through this decentralized means. So DeFi, I mean, has grown from being worth a couple million dollars just over 18 months ago to now being worth $100 billion. There's probably no faster growth in anything that I can imagine over the space of time. So that's sort of the potential that people are seeing in this. I mean, at Revex, we're sitting here like going, well, how can we get our customers exposure to these DeFi protocols or the growth in this DeFi space? And what we did is we launched Uniswap this last week.
What is Uniswap? Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay. Again, going back to this analogy of looking at traditional institutions and then comparing it to something crypto related. So you've got the JSE. JSE was beset by quite a few interesting negative developments over the last while, where they halted trading and a whole bunch of other things. But if you imagine the JSE, the New York Stock Exchange, the London Stock Exchange, you name it, these different exchanges are central intermediaries, right? You literally come as a buyer with stocks and you look to, or you come with a buyer with money, you look to buy stocks from another participant. They provide that electronic trading venue and they manage all of that. Now, Uniswap is essentially taking exactly that same concept and putting it as a program on the blockchain, and they've put it on the Ethereum blockchain. And what that means is that you come along to Uniswap, you decide, well, listen, I want to sell some Bitcoin and I would like to sell that to, I don't know, some Ethereum or some other token. And you can do that without absolutely any central party involved. You're dealing with an application that is handling these transactions.
And is Uniswap actually a cryptocurrency itself?
Yeah, so Uniswap created a cryptocurrency called Uni because you need to have network participants that kind of govern the way that Uniswap works. So essentially, anybody that owns a Uniswap token is a kind of voting shareholder in the actual protocol. So let's say you need to do an upgrade. You need people to be able to vote and say, listen, you know, let's upgrade the exchange or let's introduce this new cryptocurrency. Let's do all these different bits and pieces. And what's really cool about this is that anyone that owns Uniswap, the token's ticker is UNI, you are then able to make a decision. You're able to make a vote and say, listen, that this upgrade should happen or it shouldn't happen.
Excellent. All right. I love this because this is getting into the nuts and bolts of the stuff. And now you're actually able to buy a currency that you can use, as you put it, like an app instead of a stock exchange. And you can see the immediate application of something like this. So for many people, because you hear about these kind of 10x returns and these 20x returns on these new cryptocurrencies, and Uni's been around a while. It's not brand new. But you guys are launching Uni on Revex, right?
Yes, yeah, so we've actually just launched it, and we've got another promotion because we love promotions on Cliff Central.
Bring it.
Promotion is fee-free. I mean, we've done this a few times, but essentially you don't have to pay a single thing if you want to buy Uniswap. It's only if you want to sell. So what we're saying is really, you know, put a little bit of money into this. It'll cost you nothing to get in, and we'd recommend holding on for the longer term. The idea with Uniswap as well, so sort of what Uniswap is looking to do, is they're already the biggest decentralized exchange in the world. I'll be lying if I told you the exact exchange volumes, but you're looking at well over $1 billion a day. Now, with that sort of exchange volumes, I mean, if you're thinking into the future, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, all of a sudden you've got mainstream assets, stocks, potentially properties, private assets, other weird legal ownership deeds and whatnot that you're able to trade over blockchains. Now, currently, and this is how nascent this entire asset class is and this entire industry is, you've only really got Germany and Singapore and Switzerland have got to this point as well that acknowledge digital asset ownership on a blockchain. So let me put it this way. Imagine I go buy a really expensive Rolex, right? Now, I want to be able to sell that Rolex to somebody else. Currently, we either have to enter into a very old-fashioned, and old-fashioned is what the entire world uses right now, legal agreement that is either digital or on paper, and you have to sign that. Sometimes you have to sign that with wet ink, which I also find that's fascinating. A little squiggle that represents, you know, your name.
Is that true? You actually have to use wet ink? That's one of the rules?
Believe it or not, I have to actually head over to Germany to physically go into a bank branch to open a bank account because they need wet ink on the
That's page. Insane. That's so old school.
Yeah. So no, that's exactly it. But I'm saying that with that Rolex purchase, if I want to sell that later on, I mean, somebody's going to be trusting this agreement that I had on purchase, right? Instead of having that sitting on a blockchain, that digital, you can essentially say, well, listen, this Rolex has got some serial number on it. And on the blockchain, you know, we could essentially create a little token, and it says, well, this watch has, you know, this serial number. This is the date that the transaction took place.
Right.
All of a sudden, when somebody wants to buy this later on, fantastic. They look there. Well, this is a digital immutable record saying this is what took place. It's a lot. I mean, for me, it's like night and day. Of course, you would choose that over, you know, some digital certificate that you could potentially, sorry, some physical certificate that you could forge potentially. So the use case here is really huge. I mean, it's really exciting.
I'm sold on the idea of buying some uni. So what's the easiest way to do this on Revix.com?
It's as easy as buying every other asset. You can sign up for an account. As I said before, we should be able to verify you in a few minutes, up to 24 hours if you send us dodgy selfies and all the rest, because we need to do a selfie and compare that to your ID document. From there, you can make a deposit as little as 150 Rand and buy something absolutely fee-free.
That's fantastic. All right. So go along and you can get some of this special promotion. And it's always good because Revix makes sure it's worth your while. They're not just offering you like a little percent off here or 2% off there. You were doubling our money just the other day. And now you're telling us we could buy some uni for what? No fees at all. That's fantastic. No Uniswap.
And then just one thing to add to this as well, because we're talking about DeFi. I mentioned a while ago that we launched those flexible savings vaults. Now we've got a lot more coming out with that, but you can currently go, and this is all decentralized finance, right? We technically are just making it really easy to access the world of DeFi. And if you go, you can look at our USDC savings product. So this is a dollar-backed stable coin that you're able to buy and then earn an interest rate on that's, you know, 4 to 7%. It does vary, but 4 to 7% as things stand now. Now, 4 to 7% dollar-based interest is pretty great, right? It's about 50 times more than you earn in a US bank. So that's another big opportunity. And that's just really the beauty of decentralized finance, right? The banks aren't making the money. You are the people that are getting involved in the space.
I love it. Thank you, Sean. Always good to check in with you. You can find out more by going to @Revix, R-E-V-I-X, invest on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or just go straight to the website, revix.com, and you can sign up for free, verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice, and wow, you've got a diversified portfolio. Makes perfect sense. By the way, will SNX's Quenta be able to take on Uniswap as the largest DEX? This is like not even English. Does that mean anything to you, Sean?
That's a good question.
Is it? I wouldn't even know. Is that Klasa? Bulela?
That's crypto. That's even worse. That's the reason we exist, by the way.
Cryptocurrency. That's a difference. Okay. Yeah.
So Sean, what does this mean? Take us through Dave's question here. This is what I love, is our audience is smarter than we could ever be. And I know you're the only one out of all of us who knows what the hell this is. SNX's Quenta and then DEX. What are we talking about?
SNX is another cryptocurrency. I'm actually not familiar with Quenta, but I presume it must be some sort of a DEX upgrade. So DEX stands for decentralized exchange, just so you know that as well. It's just really, will this other tokens, cryptocurrency or decentralized cryptocurrency exchange be able to compare with Uniswap? And the truth is, okay, so taking a little step back and not to take up too much time, but because these are open source protocols, you can essentially go and copy the code line for line of the entire project. I mean, you would never be able to go to the JSE and say, listen, you know, just give us your entire trading program, the way everyone trades, and just give us all the code. You'd never get that. But with most cryptocurrency projects, you can just go ahead and do that. So what recently happened, and recently is about a year ago, you had the world's biggest exchange being Uniswap, which just forked. They literally just said, no, listen, let's copy the code and create a new cryptocurrency. And then crypto, because everything's weird, they decided to name it Pancake. It's the Pancake Exchange. And I'm not even joking with you. They sucked all of this liquidity, all of the money that was sitting on Uniswap over to Pancake Swap. And yeah, it's fascinating and really weird, but that's like what true capitalism and economics at play kind of does, right? I mean, if you've got a project that you can copy, of course, somebody's going to come along and copy it and try to do better.
Yeah.
So that's also the interesting thing in this space, is these guys and girls are having to be really innovative. So you're dealing with smart people at the other side of this as well.
And there's no single human being who's better than all of us when we're working in our different interests. And capitalism is this incredible computational model where everybody's supply and demand needs are put into the system, and then it figures itself out. It's not like central planning where you have one government bureaucrat who decides all this stuff, or the Reserve Bank and its small board of people or whoever. So it's obviously the way of the future. I love it. Sean, thanks so much, man.
Awesome, guys. Thanks again for having me. Have a good week.
Cheers, cheers. You see, I knew when we asked that question from David, I knew Sean would know what to do with it. There's no way I would be able to interpret that. It doesn't even sound like English to me, right?
Like, what in the ABC equals ZYR divided by TB2? Like, no, bro.
Like algebra, that higher grade algebra that we ended up doing right at the end of matric. You know, just too much for me. Anyway, good stuff. So if you want to find out more, go to Revix, REVIX.com. All right. Michael says, just on that note, all banks are the same. Each crypto is unique according to its application and fundamentals. Banks cannot compete with the interest rates offered by crypto platform savings accounts. We've got to this. I was having this argument with my dad the other day. I'm like, either you believe in this thing and you're going to put a little bit of money in there, or you don't. And, you know, his generation, they don't want to understand it because they like having a bank manager. They like having someone they can talk to. So there are lots of people who at his age are interested in crypto, but they're in the minority. I think the rest of us are way more excited about it for obvious reasons. So speaking of being excited, we have an incredible hour of CliffCentral.com coming at you in the next bit. I'm going to speak to a guy called Ryan Marden, who's an ex-British Army soldier, and he spent time in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I'm sure you've got lots of questions for him. I know I do. I'll hear his story. We'll also check in with Alex from Contro, and we'll speak to a doctor about birth control and what the best options are available to you. So this is the kind of thing that will be turned into a podcast, and you can send it on to any member of the family who's interested in this stuff, because the more information we have about things like birth control, the better. There is no reason that people should be in the dark anymore, should be willfully ignorant, or should not have access to discreet and personal service when it comes to things like birth control. And that's what we're going to try and do with Contro this morning. So stick around for all of that. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday. I've just got to quickly tell you about one other thing, because we've mentioned him before, but Manu Bosov is the culture expert at King Price. And you might have heard his ads that we play sometimes when we take this break at 7 o'clock. Well, they've put together a nice podcast called A Word from the King, where they explore the many facets of workplace culture from the perspective of King Price's one-of-a-kind culture model. You can learn how to balance culture and strategy. You can make the switch from how have to want to in terms of what goes on in your company. And you can actually intentionally design a business and a culture that inspires and motivates everyone who walks through the door. There are 7 episodes. They're available right now on cliffcentral.com. You can find them on Apple Podcasts as well, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Casts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Stick around for a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com.